In the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Therefore, the word therefore is a conjunction connecting what has been said before with what is about to follow. As we travel down the highway, we are often confronted with warning signs, and we do well to heed them. Perhaps a bridge washed out, a dangerous curve, a road under construction, a detour of one form or another. It is a foolish thing for a man to drive a car down a highway and ignore the warning signs. But you know, a lot of people are going down the highway of life, and they're totally and completely ignoring the warning signs that are put up throughout the Word of God. I am happy tonight that we have the blessed book that we call the Bible. I fear that we too often take it for granted. Where would we be tonight if it were not for the Scripture? It would be a dark world without the bright light of the Word of the Eternal God. Could I challenge you as we begin a fall season to get in the Word of God, you young people and you adults? Make the Bible a daily part of your life. I think perhaps the one thing that struck me more than anything else in the spotlight by the junior high department was the reference to the fact that the Bibles were gone. But the Bible, the Word of God, was hidden in the hearts and in the minds of the people. What a precious treasure. Let us then do as we are admonished to do. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. I repeat, when we see the highway warnings, we react immediately. When we see the warnings and the Word of God for us as we travel down the road of life, we should likewise react immediately. There are three phrases on this warning sign that I want us to observe carefully. First, in verse 1, the things which we have heard. Second, also in verse 1, the phrase, let them slip. Look at that again. Lest at any time we should let them slip. In the original, it reads like this. Lest at any time we should slip away from them. Now the Word of God is steadfast. It is unchanging and unchangeable. God is steadfast and God is unchangeable and unchanging. No one can ever say that they've found the Word of God to be disappointing in their lives. No one can say that God has ever let them down. I read also in this book, in chapter 13, at verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Lest at any time we should slip away from them. The third phrase is a sobering thought. A rhetorical question that has an implied answer. How shall we escape? Now let's reverse the order and make one declarative sentence out of it. How shall we escape if we slip away from the things which we have heard? My message is entitled, The Danger of Slipping Away. First, I have a question. What are some of the things which we have heard? Samuel Johnson once said, and I quote, "Men do not need to learn something new nearly as much as they need to be reminded of the things they already know." I do not bring you any new gospel tonight. I'm bringing you the old, old story. The story that is as old as time. The story that has roots in eternity. And thank God, the story that shall never grow old. And we shall never tire of telling it. And we shall never tire of hearing it. For it is ever new. It is ever fresh. It is ever a challenge to the hearts of God's people. I speak no new doctrine. I have no new philosophy or philosophical pronouncements to make this evening. I just remind you of some of the things which we have heard. We have heard that there is a God. That's a tremendous statement. There is a God who is creator and judge of all the universe. We might just put it like this. God is, and all is well. We have heard that God had a son. His name is Jesus Christ. He came into the world born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died a sacrificial death, was raised a triumphant resurrection, ascended in glory to the right hand of God, and sits there tonight making intercession for us and awaiting that moment that he shall return for our rapture. This we have heard. We have heard the blessed old story of redeeming grace. We have heard how Jesus died, how that he was buried, how that he rose again. We have heard that there is only one way to have eternal life, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. We have heard that life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which a man possesseth. We have heard that there is a place called hell for all who reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a place called heaven for all who receive him as their own personal Savior. Now, if we had never heard anything else, or if we had never heard these things before, in the words of the apostle in chapter 2 and verse 1, we ought to give the more earnest attention and careful consideration and prayerful meditation to these things that we have heard. Because these things are in the Word of God. And this is the everlasting truth. We turn not to the textbooks of science, because most of the textbooks of science that were written in the 60s are obsolete in the 70s. But you may live to be 100 years old, or you may live to be even older. If you could live to be 1,000 years old, the Word of God will remain the same. Amen. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to these things which we have heard, lest we should slip away from them. It is so easy for people to slip away from the things of God. I've said it so many times, and I think it bears repeating. No Christian loses his victory in the Christian life through a blowout. It usually comes by a slow leak. We give up a little here, and we give up a little there, and we hold back a little here, and we hold back a little bit there. And the first thing you know, we've slipped away When I was growing up, we used to sing a song, Drifting Too Far From the Shore. That's one of the old-time songs. We don't hear it much anymore. Drifting too far. That's where many Christians are tonight. They're out on the sea of confusion because they've drifted too far. They've slipped away from the things that they should have given more earnest heed to. I have a second question. What are some of these things that we should not slip away from? More specifically, what are they? First, we should not slip away from the foundation upon which we're built. The psalmist proposes the question, if the foundations are destroyed, what will the righteous do? Our foundation is the Bible, the Word of God. We are built upon and we stand firmly upon the revealed Word of God. And what a solid foundation this is. Because the written Word is the living Word, the Lord Jesus. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. No building is any stronger than its foundation. Young people, your life, if you live to be 100, will never be any stronger than the foundation that you're building under it right now. If life is getting a little bit dull and disinteresting and church no longer has the attraction and the opportunities of life don't seem to be as bright as they once were, perhaps we ought to go back to the foundation stone and see what our lives have really been built upon. You remember Paul said, if any man build upon hay and wood and stubble and these things, they shall be burned. Only Jesus Christ provides the firm foundation upon which to build your life. You remember Jesus gave a story about two men. He called one of them a wise man and the other a foolish man. Both of them were builders, and both of them built, and both of them built upon foundations. But the foolish man built upon the sand. A lot of people are building today upon the sands of idealism, the sands of materialism, the sands of humanism. But when the floods come and the wind blows and the rains fall, the foundation of materialism and idealism and humanism are going to perish. The wise man built upon the rock, and when the winds blew and the rains fell and the floods came, his house stood because it was built upon a solid foundation. We should never slip away from the foundation upon which we are built. We should never slip away from the purpose for which we exist. Why are we existing anyhow? What is the purpose of life? Is life just in what we eat or drink or what we wear? Surely not. If our lives are no bigger than our wardrobe, they're very small. I gave it to you a moment ago in the words of Jesus. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. We do not exist just to enjoy the physical drives of life. You remember Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I believe that everyone whom God has created, to them God has given a specific and definite purpose in life. And I believe that our purpose could be summarized in one statement. It's the credo of the Apostle Paul, who said, to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Our lives ought to be Christ living through us, He thinks through our minds. He labors through our hands. He walks through our feet. He speaks through our lips. He sees through our eyes. Our purpose in life is to please Him who has called us by His marvelous grace. We should not slip away from the cause for which we stand. Someone has said, he who stands for nothing falls for everything. Let me give you an instant replay on that. He who stands for nothing falls for everything. You know, if a fellow doesn't have some firm, basic, deep, and abiding convictions in life, he'll be driven and tossed by every philosophy and by every doctrine and by every idea that comes along. But let us be careful that we build our convictions upon the Word of God and not upon the tradition of man. And recognize that ours is the greatest cause. For ours is a cause that not only comes forth in time, but it shall blossom forth in eternity. Don't ever be guilty of slipping away from the cause for which you stand. And we should not slip away from the faith for which our fathers died. We take it for granted that we have a church and we have a Bible and we have a place of worship and an opportunity to serve. But it didn't come to us for nothing. Because our fathers and our forefathers paid with their own blood, paid with their own sweat and with their own tears to bring us to this place tonight. And he is a natural born ingrate who is not mindful of the heritage that has been handed down to us. Through dungeons, through fires, through prisons, across the oceans and in the deserts, our forefathers came to bring us the truth of the Word of God. Don't ever slip away from the faith that our fathers gave their lives for. Maybe sometime our children and our grandchildren can look back and say, I'm glad that there was a congregation and that there was a people that stood for the truth. You see, if we don't stand for the truth in this generation, there'll be no truth in the next generation. We don't hand something down to our children and to our grandchildren, they'll be empty-handed and empty-hearted and empty-headed. We must give them something. Because it's been passed down to us, we are indebted to pass it down to them. And then I would say, one of the things that we should not slip away from is the book that provides the answers for all the riddles and all the questions of life. We take it for granted that we have two or three Bibles around the house and we can come to Sunday school and church and open our Bibles. But if we could go to some of the countries tonight where the freedom of religion is no longer, why, that would be the most precious book that they could hold in their hands, the Bible, the eternal Word of God. Let's don't slip away from it. Sunday school teachers, if you're not teaching but two, teach them the Word of God. Don't let anybody ever point an accusing finger at this church and say that this church has left the principles of the Word of God. Because when we leave these, we're in a chaotic, confused mess. The reason the world's in such a mess tonight is because they don't have a guidebook. They don't have a handbook. If you take the Bible away from us, we're out of business. We're through. We're finished. Don't slip away. If indeed we slip away from these things, we're in imminent danger of drowning in the sea of confusion and of being buried in the graveyard of oblivion. We must not slip away. My third question is this: how shall we escape if we slip away? How shall we escape the consequences of slipping away? There is an inexorable law called the law of sowing and reaping. No man has ever no man has ever escaped the law of sowing and reaping. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's true in nature. That's true in your life, in my life, in the life of a church, in the life of a nation. It's true from beginning to end. It's a universal, eternal principle. No man has ever escaped. If we, as believers, slip away from these basic truths of the faith, we must suffer the consequences. There is no escape. If you, as a Christian, as a born-again believer, neglect your Christian responsibilities and Christian duties, you must pay the penalty for the same. I read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 at verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be evil. I had rather have no time than to have 1,000 years only to spend it unwisely. I had rather have no money than to have $1,000,000 only to invest it foolishly. I had rather have no mind than to have a good brain only to use it for sinful purposes. I would rather have no hands than to have 2 hands only to use them destructively. I had rather have no feet than to have 2 feet only to walk in paths of disobedience. I had rather have no eyes than to have 2 eyes only to use them for lustful purposes. I had rather have no ears than to have 2 ears to use them as a garbage heap for all the village gossip. You know why I say these things? Because I know that one day I am going to stand at the bema, the judgment seat of Christ, as a believer. And you are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ as a believer to give an account of all that we have done in this body, whether they be good deeds or evil deeds. Let us then use our time wisely for Christ. Let us spend our money wisely for Him. Let us use our hands and our minds and our hearts and our feet and our eyes and our ears and our lips to speak for Him. If you, as a Christian, neglect these duties and slip away from them, you're going to pay the penalty. If you're here tonight as an unsaved person and you neglect your soul's salvation, you must pay the penalty. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Word of God says in the book of the Revelation, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. I'm fully persuaded that it would be better for a man never to hear than to hear and not believe. I'm persuaded that it would be better for a man never to have a Bible than to have a Bible and never read it. I'm fully persuaded it would be better for a man never to taste than to taste the cup of salvation and not drink it. Many people have slipped away and need to return. Not only because there's a danger in slipping away, but because you're wasting precious time and precious energy and precious life. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should slip from them. I have a footnote and then I'm through. There's no time like the present time to come back to the things from which you've slipped away. Let's stand.